This is the message from Connection Community Church for Sunday, November 23rd, 2025. This is how we know God is love.
Morning, Connection Church family.
Morning.
It's great to see you today. What an awesome time of worship. Can you just keep going? Just keep going in that? Anybody else? God's presence is so good. I just need to pray again. We just need to take a deep breath and pause. Let's pray before we dive into the Word today. Can you pray with me? Your presence is so good, God. So sweet. So holy. We want more of you, God. And Lord, I pray that as we dig into your Word today, your living Word, that by the power of your Word and the power of your Spirit, every single person in this room would experience the love of God afresh today, Lord. Work in our midst, God. Do a work in us by the power of your word. We pray in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God's people say, amen. God is love. What a great message. Isn't that a good message? I mean, Who doesn't like to hear that message? You look at the preaching schedule and you see God is love is coming up and you're going, this is going to be great. Who doesn't want to hear about that? This is going to be easy. And then you start thinking. And then you start reading the Bible. And you start looking at your life. Oh boy. This is not going to be easy. But it is good. So let's get into it. Welcome to week 3 of our series on the book of 1 John. This is one of 3 letters in the New Testament written by the Apostle John, the same author as the Gospel by that title. Gospel of John, written by the same guy as 1 John. John was an apostle of Jesus, a disciple and a close friend of the Lord, maybe the closest friend of Jesus as he walked the earth. He was an eyewitness of all that Jesus said and done. And as you read this message written at first to the early church, you find that John just really wants to make sure that we know Jesus is for real. And Jesus really is the way, the truth, and the life. John, as an eyewitness, wants to make sure that we remember that. And so I want you to hear this morning the passage for today in John, 1 John chapter 4. If you have your Bible, you can open up with me or you can open it up on your phone, follow along. It's going to be on the screen as well. This is 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 to 12. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. God is love. Everybody likes to talk about that. Even non-Christians like that. Have you noticed that? I mean, God is love. That's really nice. That sounds really nice. That's good. The question is, what is love? What is that? How do you define that? We know about the great commandment of Jesus. We talk about it a lot. Remember Jesus, when he was asked, what is the greatest commandment in all the scriptures? He said very simply, love God, love others. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself, even if your neighbor is an enemy. That's what Jesus said. That's the sum of God's law. That's the sum of all God's teachings. Love God, love others. We smile and nod, thumbs up. That's really nice. That's great. Who can argue with that? But actually, the great commandment makes for us a great dilemma. Because we find that the most basic and important commandment of God is also a commandment we find impossible to keep consistently. Love God with all that you are? Really? Really? Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Really? Really, really? If we honestly face the truth, we figure out that this strikes at the heart of humanity's problem. God is love, and we are not. I am not. God's highest priority, highest calling to love him and love others completely, and I don't. I can't. Not without his grace. My heart is broken. It's corrupted by sin. Without God, I am ruled not by the law of love, but by the law of sin and death. And as much as I can talk about how nice it sounds to live in love, if I don't find a way to deal with my sin, I can't really live in love. And if I don't live in love, John says, I don't live in God. That's a problem. Our problem is we don't really know what love is. And even if we do, we find ourselves unable to live in it completely. You would think that with as much as our culture talks about love, we would understand it pretty well by now. Like we would have it figured out. Like you would just see love all over the place. As much as we sing about it, talk about it, you know. How many songs can you think of about love just off the top of your head? Like you could go on all day. All these famous, great songs about love. You know what I'm saying? All you need is love. Da, 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 da. All you need is love, love. L is for the way you look at me, you know. What is love? Baby, don't hurt me. Don't hurt me no more. Your love got me looking so crazy right now. Nope, sorry, I'm not going to go there. It's a love story, baby, just say yes. We're going to stop now. But why is it that people who get famous for singing songs about love often have the worst relationships? Maybe bring it closer to home because it's easy to throw stones at famous people. Why is it that some of our closest relationships, the people we love most, are the people we also hurt the most? And we find it most difficult to consistently love. Is it just me? I love my kids. I love my wife. I'd give my life for them. But sometimes I failed to love them. And I've hurt the hearts of the people I love most. Because without God, my default is selfishness. I know it's not just me. We talk about love, we sing about love, but do we understand it? And here's where John comes in, closest friend of Jesus, beloved disciple, who used to be called the Son of Thunder. Now he's writing the book about love, and he shines this truth like a blinding light. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. How do we know what love is? This is how we know. Look at Jesus. And you're telling me that the standard of love for God is laying down your life? Think of the greatest examples of love you can think about. Examples of love that take your breath away. Sometimes it's a mother's love for her child. The love between a husband and wife that after decades of faithfulness, care for one another to the very bitter end. A soldier laying down his life, sacrificing his life for a comrade. The greatest examples of love you can think of. And these are just small reflections of the love of God revealed in Christ. These are just little glimpses of the love of God that is in Christ. God gave everything, sacrificed everything when we were still his enemies. When all we deserved was judgment. He suffered at the hands of sinful people to save them. Romans 5:8 says, God demonstrated his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Thomas Aquinas, really big medieval thinker, theologian. He gave this timeless definition of love that I think we need to recover in our culture to really understand what love is. He says, to love is to will the good of another. Simply that. It's willing the good of another. Notice it doesn't talk about feelings. Feelings come with it. But it's much more than a feeling. Real love is not just a feeling. It's not self-serving affection. It's not using someone else to make us feel good. It is willing the good of another for their own sake, even if we have nothing to gain from it, even if it costs us. God's standard of love is revealed in nothing less than the Son of God becoming one of us, giving his life on a cross as the atoning sacrifice for our sins. That is what love is. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. That's awesome. That's love. But we still have a problem, because even when we see and understand what love really is, what true love is, we're not any closer to being able to live in it completely or consistently. Without God's help, our best attempts are still mingled with selfishness. We don't just need to know what love is. We need to learn how to become love. We need to learn how to become love like Jesus. This is why John doesn't just talk about love. We said the first week, love is his most repeated theme. He repeats that word something like 46 times in those short five chapters. But he talks about other things too. He also talks about truth. He talks about sin. Because if we're going to know what love is and live in it, we've got to deal with our sin. And this is what's wrong in our world. We like to talk about love. We like to sing about love. But we don't want to talk about sin. And so all we ever do is talk about it. Talk about love. There's really only two ways that God deals with sin in the end. Judgment or redemption. In the end, those are two ways that God deals with sin. Judgment or redemption. Judgment is not a contradiction of God's love. The Bible says God is love. It's central. The Bible also says God is holy, God is righteous, God is just, and none of that contradicts love, because love always aligns with what is good and true. 1 Corinthians 13 says, love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. So a holy, loving God has to deal with evil. Either judge it, get rid of it, or redeem it. In Christ, the atoning sacrifice for our sin, he paid the cost of judgment itself because he loves us and he wants to redeem us and he gives us a choice that now we can receive God's mercy or face judgment. But our pride goes so deep that sometimes we would rather face judgment than admit the need for forgiveness. And sometimes we'd still rather live our own life than live in the holy love of God. We need help. We need Jesus. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Jesus is the answer because he shows us what true love is, he gives us true love, and he deals with our sin so that we can become that love. Live in that love. Once you repent of sin and receive God's kind of love, you're able to start giving it to others. So John goes on to say, verse 16, and so we know and rely on the love God has for us. We know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. When you think about a relationship that went bad, we all have something in the church, family, friendship, marriage. Usually it's because at least one person in the equation stopped knowing and relying on and living in the love God has for them and the other. You know, 1 Corinthians 13, the famous love chapter, people read it at weddings a lot. It's more than just weddings. It's for every day and every person. It says, part of it says, love is patient. You've heard this. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. We read this. I used to read it and mistakenly think that this is how to love. This is how I love. So, okay, if I just be patient and be kind and don't envy and I don't boast and don't be prideful, don't keep record of wrongs and always persevere, and that's how I become a loving person. I just got to start doing that. All right, this should be easy. Here we go. But this passage isn't about how to love. It's about what love is. And it shows us how often we don't. Bible often is a mirror. If you don't believe me, just try this exercise. I don't know if you've ever done this, but try to put your name in 1 Corinthians 13. You ever done that? Let me show you. David is patient. David is kind. David does not envy. David does not boast. David is not proud. David does not dishonor others. David is not self-seeking. David is not easily angered. David does not keep record of wrongs. Do I need to go on? Well, sometimes that's true. And I'd like to think it's more true today than it was previously, but if you ask the people closest to me, my wife was sitting right in the front row in the first service. You know, it was too easy. I don't know where she went, actually. You ask them, they'll remind me that I am still being perfected by God's grace. I'm still on a journey of becoming more like Jesus. Same for you? This is how we know. If you want to know what love really is, look at Jesus. If you want to become love, follow Jesus. Receive the gift of salvation. Repent of your sin. Put your complete trust in Him and follow Him as your Lord daily. And along the way, you will find that His grace transforms you from the inside out, and you'll discover what it really means to be born of God. Romans 5 says, "Hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." You can't give what you don't got. Has God poured His love into your heart? Have you poured it onto others? Do you know what that looks like? It's going to take a daily walk. It's not a once and done. But He is gracious. He doesn't give up on us. There's no shadow you won't light up. No mountain you won't climb up. Thank you, Anthony. Thank you, praise team. Coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, no lie you won't tear down, coming after me so that I can receive your love and become your love. Become like Jesus. With Jesus, it's possible for people who were once enslaved to sin and selfishness, anger, hatred, through Christ, to begin to love in extraordinary ways. To love like Jesus, to become world changers, changes lives. Just look throughout Christian history, look in our own church at the testimonies in this room, and you find that once Jesus moves into somebody's life, extravagant love, extraordinary love starts breaking through in all kinds of different ways. Just look at people in the Bible. Look at Stephen, the first Christian martyr, the first one we have recorded who literally gave his life proclaiming the name of Jesus. They were stoning him to death. They were pelting large rocks and boulders at this man to kill him because he preached Jesus. And as he was being brutally killed, he cried out to heaven in front of all of his executioners, and he said, "Father, don't hold this sin against them," just like Jesus did on the cross. That's extraordinary. That's the love of God. That's not possible from a human heart, but it's possible when God fills the human heart. Look at heroes of the faith. Look at people like Corrie ten Boom. You know about her? She's one of my heroes, a Holocaust survivor who became an evangelist for the rest of her life after World War II was over. She was part of a Dutch family, a Christian family. They were taken to a concentration camp because they hid Jews and tried to protect them and resist the Nazi regime. And Corrie and her sister and her father were taken into a concentration camp. Her sister and father lost their lives in that camp. Corrie survived. And get this. Within a few years of the war being over, she was back in Germany preaching the gospel. Preaching the gospel of God's love and forgiveness. She shares a story in her memoir, Hiding Place, about how she was preaching in Germany, preaching the gospel. And after her talk, after her message, a German man approached her. Get this. He was one of the guards from her concentration camp. He didn't recognize her, but she recognized him. He had become a Christian since then. and he held out his hand to shake hers. Listen to what she writes. I stood there with coldness clutching my heart. Jesus, help me, I prayed silently. I can lift my hand. I can do that much. You have to supply the feeling, Lord. And so woodenly, mechanically, I thrust my hand into the one stretched out to me. And as I did, an incredible thing took place. A current started in my shoulder and raced down my arm and sprang into our joined hands. And this healing warmth seemed to flood my whole being, bringing tears to my eyes. I forgive you, brother, I cried with all my heart. And for a long moment, we grasped each other's hands, the former guard and prisoner. I had never known God's love so intensely as I did then. And she finishes, I wish I could say that merciful and charitable thoughts just naturally flowed from me from then on, but they didn't. And she says, if there's one thing I've learned at 80 years of age, it's that I can't store up good feelings and behavior, but only draw them fresh from God each day. Listen to that wisdom. Remember what Emily preached on last week? Walk in the light, walk in it daily, walk in it, walk in it. That river never runs dry. Daily. Extraordinary things are possible in us when we receive the extraordinary love of God and walk in it daily. 1 John 4:16 again, and so we know and rely on the love God has for us. Some of us are trying so hard and struggling so much, and we actually just need to be loved. You need to hold up your cup and let God fill it before he can pour it out. You need to just be loved. You just need to come back to the Father and let him wrap his arms around you like he did around that prodigal. You just need to be loved. And then you'll find you can be loved. So how's he speaking to you today? And how's the Lord speaking to you today? Have you received the love of God? Has he poured it into your heart? Are you walking in it? What is he saying to you today, and who do you need to share it with? You know, you can go to church and sit in a service. That doesn't mean that the love of God has been poured into your heart. Do you know him? Do you know Jesus? Do you know? Have you stood at the foot of the cross and seen your sin hanging there and realized what he did for you, for love, and been wrecked by that? You can't see the love of God on the cross and not be changed. Do you know it this morning? Do you need to remember? It's for every single person. It's for everyone here. His love is stronger than your sin. It's stronger than your brokenness. Don't count yourself out. That's what Satan wants you to believe, that it's not for you. It's for you. Do you know it? My friends, what is God saying to you, and who do you need to share it with? Do you need to share God's love with somebody this week? Is there somebody you need to forgive? Is there somebody you need to forgive? With God, all things are possible. Remember that? All things are possible. Think about it. Pray on it. Walk in it this week. It won't be easy, but it'll be good. Because God is love. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, come. Come and pour your hearts into your children. Pour your heart, pour your love into your children. Come, Holy Spirit. God, I pray for people in this room, people watching online, who've forgotten the love of God for them. Distractions, struggles, fears, anxiousness, lies have got them looking for that somewhere other than you. I pray for the people that haven't let you in yet. I pray, Jesus, you would move in our lives here today. God, I pray for the person who has kept part of their heart locked up inside. They've kept that door locked to you, and that your love has not yet flooded that place, and you are waiting to just pour into them. I pray that you'd give them grace today. They would just open up and let you in so we could know your love and live in it, walk in it, share it, could know the freedom of being children of God, the sweet freedom of being loved by the Father, of not having to measure up and prove anything to anyone, not having to live in lies about our identity anymore, not having to be defined by the wounds and scars, traumas of our past anymore, but living in the love of the Father, the perfect love, the holy love. You heal us, God. You restore us. Move in this place, God. Bring us to our knees, God. We worship you. We praise you. We thank you. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Church, let's just stand and worship him today.
Thank you for listening to the message from Connection Community Church. For more information and to find out more about our ministries, you can visit us on our website at justshowup.church. You can also call our church offices at 302-378-7692. Thanks again for listening. Connection Community Church, connecting people to Jesus and the new life he offers.